said, I said.
No, no, no.
You just wanna do it a different way.
What?
Yeah.
It's right after chapter 759, 690.
What is it?
Right after 759.690.
It's not 290.
No, no, it's not chapter, it's not codified. It's located after 759.690.
It's in our statutes under 759.
Okay. We'll just have the committee come back to order, and if the PUC wants to respond, also during the time we're at ease, we look at this, they just gave us the statute that requires that they administer these programs, so.
Oh, really?
So.
All of it?
Well, that's, we'll let them explain.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the question was, how easy would it be, or what might be some of the cost to transfer this, or what some of the implications? I think what you have is, you will have initial costs in transferring and someone else having to set up to do it. I think you may lose on the TDAP program, depending on how that's set up for the telecommunications devices access program. If it's not centrally located in one place, you probably lose the advantage of being able to buy in volume. The telephone assistance program, I mean, basically with all of it, you lose a little degree of centralization in which we're in, we're able to. For example, the person who heads the, administers the program, then you have to, would no longer be able to have a single person administering all three programs, so it may have some implications there. I think, Mr. Chairman, it kind of all depends on where you decide you want to put it, what all of the impacts are, but what you, I think what would really be lost is the central administration advantages that we have in doing this, and you do it in one agency and you do it in conjunction with the phone companies that have responsibilities in this case, not only for the relay system but for keeping track of the OTAP program.
I just want to make sure I understand Senator Yee's suggestion. Senator, is it your intention to retain the programs but in a different department, such as the housing or the human services department?
Mm-hmm. Or, Chairman, well, I think the Sixth Sense part, the relay service, we have to keep because it's mandated by federal government.
Understand.
But the Fourth Sense, which is a mandate by the state, I believe we should eliminate that. That's my first choice, because I think people can handle $5 less in telephone subsidy, because they are getting $5.25 from the federal government. And then the hearing device can be ordered by mail catalog, and it ranges between $150 to $500. And the ones who can afford it, they can pay for it themselves. And the ones who can't afford it, maybe there's a nonprofit organization that can help with this cause. I understand natural gas, when they send out their bills, they send an envelope with the bills so people can contribute toward their heating bill, somebody's heating bills by this contribution. So my first preference is to eliminate the extension.
I looked at the statute. The PUC has to administer both of those programs by statute.
Which is the both?
The telecommunications
mm-hmm.
devices access program, which is the one cent program, and the Oregon Telephone Assistance Program, which is the 3-cent program.
Mm-hmm.
They're required by statute to administer those programs
mm-hmm.
through the PUC.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion would be,
mm-hmm.
Unless you want to pursue it through another policy committee, would be to say, you know, we have to, of course, approve this with Chair Butler, and it's got to pass the rest of the committee, but to unschedule those, subject to the passage of House Bill 2105.
Mm-hmm.
And if House Bill 2105 passes, but then the PUC is supposed to work with Department of Human Resources to see if there can be some efficiencies or if it is a more logical place to move these services to Department of Human Resources in whatever capacity and to report back to a committee. That way, because we're going to have to put in some kind of bill, even if we wanted to change it, we'd have to put in some kind of bill, and unless we're going to do that before the June 1 piece that Senator Durfer wants to exit the building on, unless we're going to do that, it's going to be pretty difficult at this particular time to do that unless you're going to try and move a bill, and that's what's going to have to happen. So
mm-hmm.
For the budget note, we'd unschedule it, and then the budget note would read that that this will be rescheduled upon the passage of House Bill 2105. If House Bill 2105 passes, then the PUC, working with Department of Human Resources, is to report back to the appropriate legislative committee about moving these programs to Department of Human Resources, which is what you want.
What I want is just to take out the state mandate. So let them work with...
But what we have to do is, with the bill, with House Bill 2105, that bill has to fail in order to... or have to be amended to only include the 6 cents to
right.
accomplish what you want.
Right.
So you can advocate for that.
Mm-hmm. I can go to the committee.
You can go to the committee
advocate
and you can
for
advocate
that.
For that particular
mm-hmm.
piece. So that would take care of it overall if the sunset was not lifted.
Mm-hmm.
But secondarily, if that bill passes, because I think it passed the House unanimously, probably.
Mm-hmm.
If that,
that
bill
was
passed,
before I could have a chance to go to the committee.
I understand.
Yes.
But if that bill passes,
mm-hmm.
then the PUC will work with Department of Human Resources during the interim. So that way we can get a recommendation from them, and if we still disagree, we'll put a bill in on behalf of Senator Yee that will change it from, you know, if that's what you decide to do, on behalf to change the statute that has to be changed in order to move the program. Does that
I
make sense?
I wonder if the bill needs to be amended on the Senate side.
2105? It's passed the House, you say. So
right.
Yes.
In the Senate.
Mm-hmm. So we can amend it on the Senate side.
You could amend it on the Senate side and kill the whole thing if that's what you wanted to do.
Yes, if it prevails.
But would you be satisfied if that budget note was in there that way?
Well, I would prefer to amend the bill on the Senate side.
Well, I know, but you can still do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we have to pass this budget bill out of committee.
Today?
No. But at some point here.
And what he's saying is if he passed with the unscheduling, and then if you were successful in your efforts with 2105, then
mm-hmm.
either way,
mm-hmm.
you could massage that way.
You get two bites at the apple, Senator.
Yes. So if I'm successful in amending it, then this would just be the 6 cents portion.
Correct.
But if I'm not successful, we can put a budget note to ask them to work together during the interim and a decision be made in the transfer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could then we can get the appropriate policy bill together during the interim.
Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied with that?
I'll be satisfied if first choice.
Mr. Kerr?
Well, we feel like the committee heard what you had to say.
Mr. Kerr?
Representative Ringo.
I'd just like to make a comment if I could. You know, as a freshman, I've looked at some of the agency growths across the board, and it's been very educational for me to see how quickly some agency budgets have grown over the last 4 years, comparing the 97-99 budget to the current biennium. I personally have doubts whether of all the place in the budget, this is where I would target for saving money, whether I would target people that have trouble hearing. And the difficult thing about all these budget battles is that somebody can always describe a very compelling need, and you're weighing one person's compelling need, in this case for hearing assistance, versus other compelling needs from education to project independence. It goes on and on. To me, it doesn't seem an unreasonable way to provide assistance for people that do have hearing problems. And I just register that because I'm not sure I'm with you on this. I would want to hear more information as far as how these people use these devices, typically what income levels might be, and what the real human impact might be if we pursue this. I just wanted to mention that to you.
And I think that that's the discussion that will take place in the committee when
Correct.
The energy gets to test.
Correct.
Thank you. Forgive me for coming in late. I just skimmed your letter, Senator Yee, and with respect, I'm very persuaded by my colleague, Representative Ringo's comments, and we'll welcome hearing more about this. But quickly skimming your proposal and listening to Representative Ringo, I'm afraid I'm leaning in the direction of Representative Ringo.
And I think probably what we should do is ask Sue to put the budget note together that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take a look at it ahead of time, and then this committee can vote on that particular budget note.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that many of these hearing impaired might be low income, and if they have a case manager, they can help them in getting a loan for these hearing devices that are needed. Because I know in the AFS, they give emergency aid money, a one-time emergency. So I think that can be used for the loan as hearing device. Or I think there are nonprofit organizations that can pick up this cost and help with low-income devices. So it shouldn't have to mandate every ratepayers to pay toward a cause that they may not believe in. I guess it's the principle of interfering with market force and the mandate of ratepayers to pay. They have no choice in charitable activity they want to contribute to. So it's also the principle that I believe we need to stand up for.
Mr. Chair. Just a quick response. One of the things I've learned about this session is Senate Bill 622 from last session, which set up the fund for bringing telecommunications to underserved area. There's $240 million in that fund. A lot of it is coming out of my part of the state to the rural parts of the state. And frankly, I think it's a good thing for Oregon, but there's no question that ratepayers in my district are being asked to help people in other parts of the district. And I think that this is a very small potatoes compared to things like that.
Wow. Whether it's small or big, they add up.
Oh, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. There's lots of it going around where people are paying for something and not really getting anything in return. It's part of what we do here.
Well, I hope we've reached some kind of accommodation for Senator Yee to vote on a particular budget note regarding this. And I think Chair Butler will be interested in the budget note.
Mm-hmm.
I won't speak for him on any occasion. So.
Okay. Well, so I'll go to a hearing on 2105.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Other PUC issues? I know that Chair Butler had some questions, and if we...
I have a question on this, another handout that was for Representative Butler. May I?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to clarify that this, after the cover page, where it has PUC membership, the column says annual dues. That is annual dues, is that correct?
We gave a couple of documents. Let me make sure I have which
one. It's this one that says to the Honorable Representative Butler.
Sarah Gates, it says, not subject to the utility commission, not the...
Okay.
Sarah?
Yeah, except that we gave another, we had an addendum to that.
If you prepared that, do you want to tell us what that, whether that's final or not?
Mr. Chairman, the committee for the record, Sarah Gates, Budget and Management, those were presented to me as annual dues, and there was a addendum to that, which I believe got distributed as well. I emailed it to you, too, remember?
It's not in your packet.
It just had some additional...
I know Chairman Butler wanted to go through this.
Yes.
And so, maybe we should just wait.
Okay.
And maybe you guys can talk to make sure we've got all the information, and why don't we just recess for, why don't we just recess for about 10 minutes?
Okay, super.
And we'll come back.
Yes, sure.
He is testifying.